Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like, plural. Big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S. Bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man. That kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Gotta admit, that sounded pretty good. 48 days off. Is that that's not approximate, is it? That's the number?
Yeah, I guess.
48 days off? How would you like 48 days off? Longest, be careful what you wish for.
That's a heck of a break. Yeah.
That does sound nice. Did you ever in your life imagine or dream of being a teacher so that you wouldn't have to work summers? Did you ever come close to that?
No. I think I thought about it afterward, you know, like by the time I was in my 30s, I might have thought, maybe I would have been good at that, and that would be nice to have, you know, July through September off. Maybe I could get used to that, but it never was something ahead of time, you know, when I could have done anything about it. I thought, like, I'm going to go to school to become a teacher so that I can have summers. I never thought about becoming a teacher.
I'll tell you what, neither did I. As much as I respect teachers, I never... It might not have even been until I was out of school. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They don't have to work summers. I mean, I'm sure there's teachers are going to tell me that there is some work that you do, preparation, whatever else. I'm sure that's right. But it was really, for me, maybe because I just really didn't like summer growing up. Summer was not my favorite time of year. I liked school. I liked sports. And summer had baseball, okay, but that was kind of it.
You saved it a little there with sports. You liked school, hated summer.
I didn't hate summer, but it was not it might have been my least favorite season.
Yeah.
Just, it was it's a different day to day in the summer.
Oh, definitely, yeah, but.
You're home, that means you have to do work and stuff.
If you filled it, well.
I'd rather do my work at school.
Some of that, I guess, but my
I didn't look forward to it.
I don't think that this is a situation where I have an idealized version of what my teenage years were like. I really think in the summer, every day that it wasn't pouring, you know, or some other reason, on the bike to up to the schoolyard to play baseball or like sports. Sure, there wasn't stuff on TV, but we played everything all summer.
Yeah, but that wasn't my favorite thing to do,
and I just loved that. I mean, just the, you know, basketball at 3 o'clock after we get home after lunch. And then, you know, it's just whose driveway, you know, because, you know, five of us in the neighborhood had hoops on our garages.
I like playing hockey. And that was not in the summer. That was at, you know, usually at Jake's house.
That usually was not something we did in the summer. That's right.
Right. So anyway, I don't know. Just 48 days off, though.
Yeah.
Kind of exciting to hear that.
Yeah.
I guess that means we should kind of wrap up whatever there is to rap about the Bills and this period of practices that we don't really get to know that much about. I don't know. I don't really know how to do that. Sal will be on later, and we'll figure out a way by then, hopefully I will, to kind of put a bow on this, you know, spring football, whatever it is that we've been, you know, kind of covering. I mean, Sal's been covering it.
Yep.
I want to talk about the Knicks.
Good. I watched, I want to say every minute of that, but it's possible somewhere between like down by 20 and down by 10. My eyes might have shut for a moment or two, but like I saw everything that mattered.
Did you watch the first half?
Yes.
So did I.
Yeah.
I only watched the first half. Not all of it. No. I watched the second quarter.
I will do this. You know what I do I do this with hockey too, with the cup final. I will, get through two periods, or with the basketball game last night, that seemed like a really long first half, I think. But anyway, halftime, you know.
Yes, the first quarter.
Yeah.
I did watch some of the first quarter because I came back into the room at one point. Like, it's still the first
quarter.
Went
on forever, yeah.
They were in the 40s, so, the Spurs.
Yeah. So I'll pull the chute on the downstairs big screen and just settle for the iPad and get in bed. And usually there's an intermission, halftime. Now, with the basketball, I want to see the halftime show. So I actually waited, stayed downstairs, watched the, you know, the Barkley Shaq show, and then went upstairs. And, you know, it's a 27-point game at halftime. Mm-hmm. And like, all right. And same thing with hockey. If there's, especially if there's a lead, if it's a one-sided game in any way, which isn't that common in hockey, but certainly was the case with basketball. All right, third quarter can start. I don't urgently have to turn it on, so I'll read some stuff that I had saved through the day during the show. Even I'll flag stuff on Twitter that I might want to read later. I don't have time for it now. I'll do some of that and then look. Okay, well, let's see where we're at. And last night that took a little longer than normal, and so the fourth quarter was about to start, and it's a 15-point game. I'm like, all right, I think I'm going back. Like that doesn't seem insurmountable with the kind of postseason the Knicks have had. It's a 15-point game. It was 27, even got to 29 at one point.
It doesn't seem insurmountable, but if that's me and I'm getting tired and I'm interested enough to start the fourth quarter. I mean, I'm not going all the way unless it gets close quick.
I did that with them earlier this postseason and got burned. Like, I missed some great
comeback.
Yeah, I missed a great comeback because I just thought, this is toast. So I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm enjoying watching it, so I turned it back on and saw all, yeah. And at one point, it's 15. It got back to 20.
In the fourth quarter,
got back to 20.
Wow!
But that's where I thought I might have nodded off and then, you know, woke back up again. What a scene! It was. I'm glad I made it.
You got paid off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was definitely worth every minute of lost sleep.
Well, I don't know if I want to apologize for this, but. I turned it on in the first quarter, really just, you know, let's get a peek at this. Let my daughter see what Wembanyama looks like. She didn't care. It didn't seem to. My wife got as far as to say, oh, he's tall. And then she went back to what she was doing. Like, nobody cared in my house. My son's out of town. So it was going to be just me.
Yep.
And I gave it some time. I got into it. And the second quarter was a sight to see in how the Spurs just never missed. I mean, they were.
Yep.
Making shots from all over the court. It was kind of a joke. And that isn't the kind of game, I mean, if I may be like basketball guy for a second, that isn't the kind of game where you know that team is going to win. I mean, there are different kinds of leads in sports. And if one team is just making all the shots, there's some chance that they won't keep doing that the whole game.
Go figure. But
I got annoyed by the dumb stuff that annoys me. You know, we had a foul. There was a play, you were watching it. There was a play where the Spurs made a three and Wembanyama got fouled. And so we had to spend like, it was at least 3 minutes, I would say, on whether it was flagrant. And, you know, all this time goes by. They're just showing the same replays over and over and talking. And, you know, like people are paying how much money to go to this game? And you just got to sit there and wait for the refs to get done staring at a screen for maybe 1 point in the second quarter of a game where their teams are going to score in the hundreds. I just hated that. So I got so mad.
There was a moment with about 3 minutes to go. And I would say before I make this point, because it turned out not to be true, but you know how the end of basketball games can go, right? Like it's just going to take forever. And this, the drama was so compelling that it never really felt like that. But there's a moment where Mike Breen says, both teams have two timeouts and still have challenges left. I'm like, that sounds like a threat to me. That sounds like you're telling me I'm going to be here till midnight. Like,
I don't. Are you asking me to turn it off?
Yeah, right.
Is that what you're saying?
Are you begging me to just go, I don't want it. But it ended up not being that cumbersome. It was just so dramatic that I didn't even mind the stoppages. And there still were a lot of them because I think they used it. There weren't any challenges after he said that, which was I'm thankful for. You know, there's the usual timeouts. And frankly, as exciting as it was, I think I kind of needed the timeouts to sort of like, whoa, my gosh, this is so good. So I didn't really mind it. But when he said it, I was like, oh, come on. I'm going to be here for another 45 minutes.
I mean, I have not. I used to love every sport and watch every sport. And this is maybe why I didn't always love summer, because a lot of these sports went away that time of year. But I would watch every as much as I could of, say, the NBA Finals, NBA playoffs in like the 80s and 90s. And eventually that kind of, I grew out of that until somehow, you know, probably doing this. It's like if you're a casual with a sport, sometimes a friend or, you know, whatever, Twitter, it comes along like, you got to see this, though. I know you're not doing this anymore, mm-hmm. but just take a look at this. And that's been Wembanyama. Like, take a look at this guy.
Yep.
And I haven't done that yet. But that happened to me with the Warriors in whatever, mm-hmm. 2015, whenever that was, when you got to watch this. You got to watch Curry. You got to watch Golden State. And I did. And I was so excited about that, that the stupid stuff about basketball did not bother me. Mm-hmm. It did not. Now, I don't know that they did reviews even then. At least like last night where the official speaks into the camera.
Yeah.
I mean, we just cannot quit that. I don't know. It's just never going away. It's just going to get worse and worse until the end of time. Whatever it was, I mean, the timeout thing has always been true about basketball. And the officiating being so random, like everything's a foul, but not everything's right. called a foul. I always hated that. That team hooked me. And I didn't mind all the stuff that I mind. And I watched them all the way, as much as I could mm-hmm. get out of Golden State. And rooted for them to an extent that maybe didn't make sense. I've never been a bandwagon fan. You know, it's a California team against Cleveland. Like, why am I rooting for Golden? I just did. Like, that was the team I liked. So, anyway, that died off. Then this guy shows up. And the Knicks story is great, too.
Yeah.
If it's San Antonio against Cleveland, I might not bother. No offense to Cleveland, Indiana, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But the Knicks are, it's a 53-year
yeah.
championship drought. All right. I'm not above this. I'll check this out. But it was like, oh, my God, with these foul calls. I mean, justify that. And the Spurs are way ahead, so they couldn't really – they didn't have a leg to stand on because, I mean, in basketball, you don't get calls when you're on the road and winning.
Up by 25.
I just like
– before halftime.
And, you know, but I didn't want to be like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to appreciate it. And I know how excited most people are about it. So I got to halftime, and it was 27.
Yep.
Like, okay, well – I'm all set.
Check, please. Yeah.
It's 27.
Yep.
And to see, I was still up when the Knicks won the game. I just saw it on my phone. And like, you got to be kidding me that they won that game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's why we love it. That's great.
Right.
Comebacks
and chokes. I mean,
yes.
Because the Spurs, this guy Fox, like, I'm no expert, so I don't want to, like, I don't know the guy's career. I mean, I've read a little about him today because he's the guy, I think, mostly. Like, he just threw the ball away and took a bunch of bad shots. I don't know, bad shots. They were open shots. He just missed them is more what it is, I think.
Is he the guy that goes for the layup?
Yes. It's all him. Like, the only thing he didn't touch was the final sequence, with the inbounds play that goes awry. That's not him. And the – oh, no, he did. He abandoned.
He was the guy who didn't
– He spun away from
– cover.
He was covering the inbounds guy.
And then he left him.
Why is his name escaping me? Zach, the guy that blocked the shot and then tipped in the winning basket. Oh,
OG Anunoby.
Okay, thank you.
Now say it.
He Anunoby. He spins away to double team Brunson and leaves that guy unguarded, and then he runs to the basket and tips it in. So he's like at the flashpoint of like every mess in the last, I don't know, even into the third quarter. Like he was just he was turning it over and just very sloppy. Fox.
Well, he was in on it then.
So, yeah, I don't know, but really, really. That's why I say, like, yes, full credit. The Knicks made all these shots and made this dramatic comeback, but man, the Spurs stepped on a couple of rakes, too.
I don't think there can be a historic comeback without the other team
right.
participating in it, like the Oilers against the Bills.
Right.
You know, I mean, every great comeback has these blunders by the team in the lead. I mean, what was Houston that day? It was coverage stuff eventually, but, you know, not recovering the onside kick and a couple of turnovers maybe. The field goal, right? There was a field goal that the holder, Montgomery was his name,
botched, yeah.
didn't catch the snap. Del Greco is the kicker. Like, I mean, I guess you may need that stuff to pull off
yeah.
historic comebacks. It's great about the Bills one. I mean, that's so long ago now, but One thing I love about the Bills' comeback against the Oilers is you have 35-3 into the third quarter. The first touchdown of the third quarter is a pick six. And so it's 28-3 at halftime. That's bad. I did not turn that game off, by the way. But, you know, I wasn't too optimistic. Then you get into the third quarter.
Lucky you if you were able to watch it.
I watched it. Well, I guess I did leave at that point, but I watched it because a friend of mine worked at Channel 10 in Rochester, that, you know, the NBC station, and he and I just watched the game, and he wasn't working. We watched the game from the back. But at 35-3, I went back to my dorm because, you know, come on. You don't want to watch a game like that. Because that's a game where if you lose, your season's over. The Bills were in this historic run where they were trying to get to a third straight Super Bowl, tying the record, and it's going to end, and Kelly's hurt. It's going to end like this?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I really want to see that. Anyway, it's so long ago. But what I was going to say I love about that is that it is 35-31 in the third quarter. It's not even, right, you know, late when they pull that
That's
off.
That's right.
It's not that late. They take the lead, and then Houston ties the game. But, yeah, I mean, I like that about that, that it just wasn't all completely at the end. I mean, they make the comeback before the fourth quarter even starts that day, which is different from last night.
For sure.
If it means anything to anybody.
I don't know, it was maybe 2 minutes in, maybe around the 10-minute mark, the Spurs made a bucket to get it back to 20. And I wonder if anybody was like me who saw, like, you know, the halftime score, hey, you know, leave it over there, I'll check back in. Okay, it's 15 now to start the fourth quarter, I'll go back and watch, and then it gets to 20 again, you might have just been, all right, I'm out. But I kind of hung in there. And, geez, I mean.
Who is the team to root for?
You know, that's just it. Like, I like Wembanyama so much. I don't really know a lot about the rest of the whole Spurs story.
I know they have three top five picks in a row.
And, yeah, a couple of hotshot rookies. Or just very young guys. Like, the point guard is real young. There's another guy that's, like, 20 maybe even. They've got some, you know, it might not be their time yet. You know what I mean? Like, Wembanyama's only, is this only his second year? Third year. Okay. So they're really compelling to me, but I've said I also like the Knicks story. Like, it's a good story. I don't find them, most New York teams, because of the fan bases, maybe to some extent,
it's tough,
just get too obnoxious for me, and I just can't stand it. And I know that's got to be there with the Knicks, but the fact that it's been so long, I don't know. I find myself treating them differently than I would treat a great New York team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of bulletproof watching that unfold. Like, you know, either outcome, I'm going to be all right. I mostly just wanted a 2-2 series so that I would get more games, because the games have been, much like the hockey, very entertaining. I mean, the Spurs have had double-digit leads in every game of the series.
I mean, you have to bet the Spurs heavily in Game 5, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't the league want this
yeah, right,
to not be over already?
I would. That's certainly going to be out there. Yeah. So, I don't know who to root for. I really don't have a horse. And it's not, I'm not souring on one or the other as it's going on, because sometimes that can happen. Like, these are equals, but I'm watching, and now I didn't like that. Okay, I'm rooting for this team now. That has not happened here. I'm just taking it in, and it's great.
I used to like the Knicks, but it is tough to root for New York City, I think. It doesn't come easily. Last night, I was enjoying the Spurs dominating the right, first half. Like, oh, wow, this is incredible.
Right. Both things are great. The crowd being stunned into silence while the Spurs are just hitting every 30-foot shot on the board, just shoom, 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 just missiles flying, was awesome. And then watching the wave and feeling the wave of emotion as they got close and then eventually took the lead was fantastic too. Like, it's, I don't know, I can't lose, I guess, as long as it's entertaining. You know, there's no way that I would have found anything about that compelling other than them shutting the crowd up if the Spurs won that game by 35. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even gone back to it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I look and it's 25-15 to start the fourth quarter, I wouldn't have ever even turned it back on.
I also don't want to apologize for this, but we've talked about this when it even was the Red Sox 20-plus years ago, the Cubs. I like droughts as a storyline. I like that. I like having that. It's something to cling to. I never believed in the curse nonsense for the Red Sox or the Cubs, but with all due respect to fans, so-called long-suffering fans, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing about baseball that these two historic franchises can never win and have gotten as close as the Red Sox got and still couldn't win. I liked that about mm-hmm. baseball, or is it just about something to talk about with the sport? In a day and age as we get older, it's just more and more like this, where just kind of random teams that win wild card berths can get through and yep. win championships. I like the big stuff like that. Well, so I never wanted to root for the Cubs right. or the Red Sox, because then it would be over.
It can be, I've talked about this a lot, we've covered this, so I won't go long here, but it can be the kind of thing that really sets a franchise apart. And from, like, as it turns out, I remember you, the day after the Red Sox won in 04, I mean, it's going way back, you making that point. And I sort of, I'm like, come on. I don't want to hear that right now.
I know.
But you know what? I've admitted years later, it probably is the thing about baseball I miss the most.
Not only are you just another team after that.
Right.
But you're a big money team that when they're in last place, like right now, it's especially bad.
Like, look away. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's a big part of the reason why I've been as distant from the Red Sox over the last, I don't know, 20 years as I have been.
One thing that always gets said when we have this conversation is, well, what happens when the Bills win?
Right.
Or the Sabres? And, like, are we just done with it? And I don't know. I'm not ruling that out. I mean, that's the most interesting thing to me about them mm-hmm. and about the Bills and Sabres together, is that never have they won a championship. I mean, since the 60s, but never have they won one championship. And every year, you have this added element of interest and excitement because this could be the one. Unlike almost every other team that they play against, they're still looking for that one. And I don't root against them so that continues, but it does make it more interesting every year mm-hmm. when they still haven't done it yet. And, you know, that's obviously still the case. So there's that with the Knicks, but that doesn't really get me to root for them. Enough people do that. Enough people root for them. They don't need me.
Right.
You know? But it will. You'll want to see it if they do it.
Yeah, I think so. And like, last night to me is the kind of game that if – because there's a lot – I've got friends who I think I would describe as being basketball fans, maybe even big basketball fans. And I hear a little more, I can't watch it anymore. The style of the game, right? There's no post play. It's all like just bombing threes, and that like people maybe my age, around our age, sort of feel this is maybe a little bit of the Warriors point. Like, I feel like they sort of ushered this era in to an, they weren't first to it, but still the value of the three versus the two and all that. There, I think there's people that used to really love basketball that won't turn it on. I feel like last night would be a game that, despite all the three-pointers, you could still sort of, you know, wow, I missed this. You know, this is really great.
Those people tend to be very stubborn and not necessarily sound like they're ready to give it another right. chance. But I don't know. Yeah, you know, incredible story. 29 points down in the finals. That had never happened.
Right.
Later, Dan Leberfeld will talk about the Jets and the AFC East. Sal Capaccio will join us as well before the 48 days off kick in for the Bills, which, you know, that starts tomorrow. Everything's over after today until training camp. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines are open for your calls, 803-0550. Also, the latest speculation on Alex Tuck to talk about as well. This is
Brunson gets it, fires up a three. Shot no good. The tip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining, Knicks take the lead. OG Anunoby! 107-106.
Pretty good sequence for that fella. the plot, not to foul Fox on, it's like under 12 seconds to go. He's got a run with a ball, loose ball. He deflected it down the court, ran it down, and thought he was going to have, I think, he said afterward, I just thought I'd win the race. Like, he's known for his speed, I guess, Fox. And
his name is Fox, so.
Yeah, right, okay, fast. And Adonobi just did a tremendous job there. Although I did see a screen grab that shows him hacking him right on the arm as the ball is still in his hand. So I don't know. Maybe that should have been a foul too. I don't know.
I mean, that's basketball.
right.
I think it's worse than hockey for officials' randomness. I think it's worse than hockey.
That game started, like, I don't know if you said you watched the first half.
I didn't watch the beginning.
The Twitter during the first half of that game, maybe even especially the first quarter, was just Knicks fans complaining endlessly about how slanted the officiating was.
Which is probably wrong.
Sure. I don't know. I don't.
Well, it's such a mind-numbing topic. Should officials care about that calls are made pretty much evenly? No. But they do. You would. Because this happens.
Right.
And if you called all the penalties or fouls or whatever on one team, you'd have that problem. And you'd have Warren Sharp with stats about how when the Bills have whoever as referee, they're 1-12 or something. Like,
right.
Well, wait a minute. I'm the referee. And what did I – why is that even a story? Like, I didn't try to – you know, injure them with my calls.
I just called it like I saw it.
So then you get this kind of, you appreciate the understanding that it's going to be pretty even. If you're watching an NHL game, especially a playoff game, and one team gets the first two penalties, you want to bet your house that the next one is going to be on the other team. And it's just like, that's how this all tends to work. And, you know, to have any fan that you can take seriously say that, like, well, it's obviously biased against one team. You just can't even have a conversation with that person. It's just impossible.
Yep.
But I think basketball is worse than hockey for just kind of like, all right, I'm ready. Now's a good time for a foul.
Yeah.
Now's a good time. All right, because I can call it anytime I want. It's like football and holding. Anytime I want. Nope, it's been a while. Haven't called a penalty against this team. I see it. Now's a good time. Now's fine. It's not going to decide the game, right? Because that's bad too. If you call the same thing with, you know, past the 2-minute warning and somebody's driving down 4, well, that's the official deciding the game, obviously.
Yep.
I think it's all pretty obvious and boring to listen to, but, you know, once in a while, you can maybe say it. Hopefully it's okay. That was what was on my mind some of last night, just, All right. We have a goal in the World Cup in the first game. Mexico 1, South Africa 0. This is a matchup, really one of the great rivalries in sports. Brian Koziol versus Brian Koziol in our pool.
He's got both.
It's really hard to separate these two teams, Brian and Brian. But he picked both Mexico and South Africa. So I don't know. I don't know how the points work.
I don't either. I don't either.
I can tell you how the Survivor format works now, because I did 4 Survivor World Cup entries, 2 different tournaments, Kelly in Vegas, and then the Swole Cast. I entered 2 teams in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And they both are the same. It's too late to recommend this because the tournament has just started.
Yep.
But what they have is you pick 4 teams to get through group stage. So you have 48 teams, more than ever, in World Cup. And 32 make it out of group stage. The 8 first place teams, how many is it? The 12 first place teams, the 12 second place teams, that's 24. And then the 8 best third place teams in the groups go to the knockout round.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to do in Survivor is you have to pick 4 teams in group stage, and they all have to make it to knockout. Or else you're out.
If one of the 4 goes out, you're out.
Because I was wondering what will they do about ties? but there's nothing because all you have to do is advance. The four teams you pick all have to advance. And this will be like
it's not match by match. It's more like the whole first round. Okay.
Right. It's kind of like Joe Ostrowski's thing too, where like Sal got into the late stage in the NCAA tournament, but he had used all the good teams. He didn't have anybody left.
Yeah.
And so the strategy is, who do I pick that I think will advance but won't win after that? And I think there's one team, I don't know, now I'm soccer guy. Team USA is exactly that.
Right.
Where they might be in an easy enough group and might be just good enough to get through, but then maybe that's it. And so I used them on Survivor because I thought that made sense.
Yep. Yeah, I think the first time we talked about this with Sam, even he mentioned like that, you know, betting them to win it is just like, you know, if you want to do it, knock yourself out, but like, come on, you shouldn't really expect to win that bet. But you know, group stage, you know, that's realistic. And I feel like I've heard a lot of that around, so you know, that makes sense. I think if I were in one of those, I would have taken them to get one of my four to get there.
Then we have the work pool, Brian versus Brian today. My teams are Argentina, Croatia, Czechia, and Jordan. Bulldogs are Belgium, Senegal, Panama, and Congo. The Democratic Republic of Congo, by the way.
Yes,
the other Congo didn't make it.
Dr. Congo.
Dr. Congo. And Panama was a fun one on the thread last night. I'm disappointed that I didn't get it right away.
I said to you before we left, this thing, you know, we were... I don't even know what time it finally wrapped up. I stopped looking at my phone.
Maybe 8?
But, I mean, I was done early enough because I was at the bottom, and so by the time round 4, I was quick after I made my third pick. So I was wrapped up. But I told you before we left, like, if this is still going on, all I really want is to get to my next pick, my third pick, and have Panama still available because everybody else most of the day was – you know, that you tweeted the shot of Messi with the trophy from 4 years ago, right?
In a group text.
Right, in the group text. Everyone was, you know, flags and whatever. And I'm, you know, my first two picks, I'm just typing in the name of the country.
Yeah.
And I'm looking
old
at
school.
This is my process. This is not how you should gamble, kids. My process was looking at the field of teams that were still left, and I went, Panama. All right, I can use the Van Halen. Like it was a highlight from. Well, I actually went to my phone and looked. Like if I go to the GIF maker or whatever and type in Panama, what comes up? And the second image that came up was David Lee Roth swinging on a line with a boombox up to his ear from the very beginning of the Panama video. I'm like, I'm picking Panama. I want to use this in the group text thread. I don't care if they're going to win. I just want to do this. And fortunately for me, they were still there, and I put that up. And, yeah, I didn't wait that long. I could have waited longer, but I didn't want to hold everyone up. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody was waiting behind me, Brian was waiting behind me to make his two picks and be done.
And he doesn't know what that is,
to? Yeah, I didn't want to sit there and have, you know, wait for people to, oh, what is this, Mr. Wizard? So I like, 5 minutes went by, and I threw the, you know, I put the answer up that it was Panama.
And that's actually a clip from
the video.
Their performance from the video that song.
That song, the video. It's the opening. I don't even think the song is playing yet. It's just the first, I think it's the first thing you see in the video is him swinging on that line.
Wearing some sort of purple jumpsuit.
Oh, of course. Right.
Of course.
Right. Chest hair everywhere. And
David Lee Roth.
Some kind of goggles on or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I was proud of that.
I didn't give you any sort of room to breathe there. Like much as, you know, I guess I always am like that. I just texted something like, I know you were excited about this, but I still don't get it. I don't know what this is. I mean, I even know countries pretty well, and I still can't figure out what the reference is here. And so you had to do the thing that you hate to do, which is sort of explain it, which is my fault because it really didn't need that.
Again, I don't think it's your fault. I was conscious of that everyone was – I just didn't want anyone to be waiting. That's all.
I tried to draft Hot for Teacher in the fourth round of this draft. But apparently they're not in the World
Cup.
They're
not affiliated with
any, Hot for Teacher
any
did not make it.
That qualified.
No, they got knocked out by Uzbekistan in the late stages of the qualifying rounds. Hot for Teacher. So, all right, well, good luck to Brian playing himself today in this first game. The second game tonight is in Guadalajara, Korea versus Czechia. Oh,
well, that's you, right?
That's me. Who's got Korea?
I've got Korea in my bar pool. Yeah.
Owen has him in this.
Oh, he got them.
212. Yeah. The 212 pick. The 2-3 turn versus my Czechia that I picked in the third round. I love the World Cup. I hope it doesn't get dumb with politics stuff and whatever else. But I will watch. And Owen said the same thing. He was walking out. He told me. He said the same thing getting home and watching this game. I will watch as much of it as I can. The flags today, the opening ceremony, Bocelli's up there singing. How could you not be moved? I was moved. Like, just, it's the Olympics, if only soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited about it. So those are the two games today. One underway. It's 1-0 Mexico first half. Tomorrow is USA Paraguay at night, preceded by the game in Toronto, Canada and Bosnia Herzegovina. That's you.
That's me in this thing. No, that's me in the other thing.
That's
the other thing. So all right.
Survivor thing, this other thing, our thing.
Yeah.
It's going to get
what time is
convoluted.
That Canada Bosnia Herzegovina game?
Maybe 3.
Just like today. Okay, good.
The map I have, it's really small. I got to try to zoom in on it.
Well, good. I'm just looking for there to be games on while we're here. That's all. Not that I couldn't watch it if it started at 6, say, but, you know, fine.
3 tomorrow, I believe, is correct.
All right.
And then USA, I think, is at 9.
Right. I knew that. Yep.
At 4 today, Dan Leberfeld on the Jets and their offseason. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio later today, too. This is WGR.